Hello and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the Sunshine Boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Ashfaq, when you think of Pune, what comes to your mind?
Definitely Bakhanwadi and Shrewsbury biscuits. But why do you ask?
Because today we have with us the illustrious Chitale family that introduced not just Maharashtra, but India and the world to Maharashtrian snacks as well as sweets like Bakarwadi and Kalakand.
I think when Amul entered Pune in the milk market, because we have the highest share in terms of milk sales in Pune. So that time when Amul entered, so that was not exactly a threat, but we had to pull up our socks.
Which year was this?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it was 98 or 2000 sometime around that time. That was the time when everybody was aware that, you know, Pune as a market is getting noticed. That was clear, like Amul is trying to come into the city and try to disrupt the supply.
Okay, let me introduce you to the youngest member of the Chitale family, Indraneel Chitale. He's no regular 26-year-old, wakes up at 5 in the morning every day, has been delegated the task of managing this new factory at Ranje Village to cater to their exports business.
Ranje Village? Where is that?
Don't ask, even the Google Maps could not find it. The drive from the Bombay-Pune expressway was smooth until we reached multiple dead ends in our desperate search for this Bakarwadi.
My name is Indraneel Chitale, so I am the part of the fourth generation of the Chitale Bandhu and the Chitale Group. I am an electronics engineer by profession and I am 26 years old.
Okay, and your family has been in this business for how many years?
So we've been in the dairy business for 75 years now.
Okay.
And in the sweets business for a little over 60 years. We have a big family business. So it was my great-grandfather who actually started the dairy business. So his two sons, my grandfather is elder brother, so Rajabho and Rausar.
Yeah.
So they stayed in Pune and they also started the mithai and the sweets business.
Yes.
The two younger brothers stay in Bilodi, so that is where our dairy plant is.
Okay.
So my great-grandmother was quite a visionary. So she was of the opinion that if four of her sons are going to do business together, they should not be staying together. So only with milk we started out. So later what to do with excess milk was a question, so we started making mithai out of it. People liked it, so we started doing more mithai.
If only everyone had such a wonderful pardadi, so many present-day legacy family-run business disasters, of course without taking any names, could have been avoided.
Couldn't agree more. By the way, guess what? Poor Indraneel could never have a meal at peace, because even though his family made the yummiest of food and snacks, all they did on the dining table was talk about work, work, work.
During my early days, I also got to interact a lot with my grandfather and his brothers. So always the lunch table used to be a conversation for, it used to resemble a boardroom. Because with most family businesses, there was a lot of talk about business happening there.
Yes.
So that is how the early grooming started, that you kept hearing a lot about what is happening, what is not happening. That was a good indicator for me that, you know, I'm liking what I'm hearing. So it might be a good idea to join the family business. And this is our newly constructed exports facility. So from here, we are going to cater to distribution across India as well as exporting out of the country.
We're now sitting with the boss in a glass cabin situated inside the factory with state-of-the-art machinery, and I'm sure you can hear the behind-the-making noises of a Bakarwadi.
Wow, I can't imagine mithai and laddus being made by machines. I remember the neighborhood halwai cooking in the narrow alleys of Old Delhi. Whose brainchild was it to introduce tech-made mithai?
Stay tuned, you'll find out.
Grandfather particularly, he toured Japan sometime in 1970s, so 71-72.
He was what?
He got a tour of Japan.
Okay.
So he went as part of a delegation with Maratha Chamber of Commerce that time.
Okay.
And that is where he actually got to see a lot of technological advancements. And compared to India in 70s, it was something of a revolutionary change for him.
Okay.
So that is how I think he developed the culture of using technology.
And you've been using technology from way before anybody else in India. So which year would that be, perhaps?
So that is 1971 when we got the first milk packing machine. So that was way ahead of its time at that time. Because the trust factor about buying something packaged and buying something that is packed in front of you was much different amongst the people at that time.
Yes.
Now everybody is used to the idea of having everything packaged because they know that it's safe, pure, everything is there.
Yeah.
Or increasing the entire focus of making the product acceptable to international standards was something that was always on the priority. I think ever since then the whole culture of adopting technology has been persistent in the third generation as well and in my generation as well. So That is, we've been lucky that whenever we try to press for anything new in technology, we are given a good go ahead with that.
Wow, way ahead of its time, don't you think?
Absolutely. But wait, they're not done yet. They introduced franchises in their retail business in 1987, much before Indian retail had discovered this business model.
The idea of franchising business was something that we picked up a little early back in the 80s. Especially the people in Pune were extremely adamant about the idea that Amchi Shaka Kute Nahi. It means that we don't have any branches. So that was the board that everybody used to put in their shops to maintain their authenticity. So going against the trend was something new. I think one of the main reasons for adopting the franchising model was that retail is a cash intensive business.
Yes.
So the thing is, when you put responsibility in divisions about the cash, managing that cash flow is very easy.
Well, they managed to save money.
Yeah, but don't forget, they had their own share of troubles before the dawn of 1991.
The licensing was a big problem because importing machines from France or Europe, that time the government and the economy was not open as it was in after 91.
Yeah.
So the import license itself took such a long time.
How much time?
I think it took 10 months that time from what I heard from my grandfather. So there was a lot of regulation in terms of how much time you can use the machine, then what products you can pack on it. And also the idea of understanding, making the officials understand that what exactly are we trying to achieve out of this.
Yes.
Remember, right after this, Finance Minister Manmohan Singh announced the Big Bang reforms of 1991. India was never the same again, and international brands had set foot in our country.
I wonder what happened to the Chitale family business after that, Vidhi.
Between 1991 to 96, when we actually got the first Vakarodi line, so automating that process was something my father was very keenly involved in.
One
of the biggest things was with the advent of FMCG brands. That is something that we have to tackle much better now, and especially with a lot of FDI that is trying to come inside. So these are players who are going to be very deep pocketed and able to tackle the India market at a very large scale. So the main idea that my father told me is that if you want to tackle these or at least give a level play to them, we need to have infrastructure for that. That is where the whole idea of automation, increasing process, increasing technology came, because without that you are not going to cater those volumes properly.
Yeah.
I think we take tech for granted. Didn't know it could change businesses so drastically.
Well, change is the only constant, and the city of Pune, as well as the food palette of Pune residents, became a part of that change.
Because initially we were restricted only to the old city areas, and when we started, probably Pune was only that part.
Yeah.
But now, especially because of the software industry, there has been extremely high growth and influx of Indians from across various states
coming to Pune.
So their taste, their priorities, their product preferences are much different than the typical traditional Maharashtrian customer is.
Okay, what kind of changes?
So a few products which we were probably not doing initially. So the focus on dry fruit based mithai was not something that was extremely high in Maharashtra. But if you go to Delhi, everybody wants to eat kaju katli more often. And we see a lot of many people coming from other parts of India into Pune, and they prefer those kind of mithais a lot more.
Yeah.
So there we had to make a lot of development.
We had
to put a separate team to make only kaju barfi. And we are now selling more cashew products than milk products on some days also.
Yum, kaju katli. I think I'm hungry. I didn't know kaju katli was such an all India craze.
Let's come back to reforms, shall we?
The retail sector was undergoing a sea change right from store expansion, which meant including third-party owners, to labels and packaging, and of course Chitale's were included.
The transition that happened during that time was that we all started focusing on the idea of packaging whatever we are making. So till then the idea was to sell it across the counter fresh so that the customer can see and buy. But then the idea changed because the whole process of retail underwent a big makeover. So how do we make our product more visible in markets where we cannot be present physically ourselves? So that is the solution which was provided by packaging. So a lot of emphasis was given on that. So at time that the market was opening, increasing the share was not a very big concern, but being present and being a substantive player in that was a priority. So the whole network expanded. So we were that time probably 5 franchises and 2 retail outlets.
Which year was this?
About 95, 98. So that is onwards when we actually started increasing our distribution network. So we appointed super stockists, we appointed distributors, so we appointed importers across the world. So that structuring, that change, and the change of revenue generation from our retail shops to more from the distribution chains actually happened during that.
During liberalization.
And also the food laws are getting stricter because of the coming of so many brands that are there in the market.
Correct.
So a lot of emphasis is being given on the manufacturing end now.
Okay.
That is one thing. Secondly, I think the snacks market is here to stay. That market is going to be existent.
Yeah.
But the fact is that unlike about 5 to 7 years ago, when that market was just opening up, now the price points in those markets are limited. So anybody new who wants to come there, either can match those and try to compete against a lot of competition that is present there, or try to project himself as a very premium brand. But that premium brand will not probably give you the volumes that are needed for sustainability.
Yes.
So that way it is a, I wouldn't say it is a tricky environment, but it is a challenging environment because sustainability is also something that we need to keep maintaining.
While they were thinking of sustainability, they had to keep e-commerce in mind. After all, the so-called tier 1 and tier 2 cities were one of the big beneficiaries of this e-commerce boom.
Now the thing is, our customers are also online.
Yeah.
They are Twitter savvy and Facebook savvy.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, that is also equally pinpointed online, and that can also go viral very fast. So how do we maintain an even balance doing all of this?
Yes.
Something we've taken some time to figure out.
Okay.
But we'll be launching our online services soon as well. Because what we've also noticed is that our customers, so some of our customers are senior citizens. For them to come into the crowded marketplace is also a problem.
Yes, okay.
So the online revolution is not only helping the new generation, but it is also helping the older generation.
Absolutely,
it is adding to their convenience.
Convenient.
I think the run in the market is stable, I would say. But if we have to focus on growth, we will have to work hard.
Wow, you look at success stories and don't even realize how much hard work has been put in.
Do you believe that with the coming of reforms and with the opening of the economy, sustaining your business has become harder and more challenging?
No, I won't say that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the pace at which you grow, that you need to control properly. Till now, we've not had any slowdown in terms of growth. So we are getting about 12% every year.
While a whole host of Indian food chains have felt the impact of reforms ate into their business, here is one homegrown chain that managed to get the right ingredients to stay at the top of the pack. This interview was conducted by Vidhi Chaudhary. This podcast was produced by Anik Biswas.